to New World next week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. Snitches get bonus points, plus making the CIA a more vicious agency. But first, a story we've covered before, but James, it kind of seems like it's now ready for its mainstream close-up, and it's about points as well. Big data meets Big Brother as China moves to rate its citizens. Now, the story is a long read, as they call it, coming from the UK version of Wired magazine, which begins, if you don't know the story, on June 14, 2014, the State Council of China published an ominous-sounding document called Planning Outline for the Construction of a Social Credit System. In the way of Chinese policy documents, it was a lengthy and rather dry affair, but it contained a radical idea. What if there was a national trust score that rated the kind of citizen you were? Imagine a world where many of your daily activities were constantly monitored and evaluated, what you buy at the shops and online, where you were at any given time, who your friends are and how you interact with them, how many hours you spend watching content or playing video games, and what bills and taxes you pay or not. It's not hard to picture because most of that already happens thanks to those data collecting behemoths like the Gulag and Fedbook and Instagram and health tracking apps like Fitbit. But now imagine a system where all these behaviors are rated as either positive or negative and distilled into a single number according to rules set by the government. That would create your citizen score, and it would tell everyone whether or not you were trustworthy. Plus, your rating would be publicly ranked against that of the entire population and used to determine your eligibility for a mortgage or a job and where your kids can go to school. Your kid. You know, it's China, can go to school, or even just your chances of getting a date. A futuristic version of Big Brother out of control, question mark? No, it's already underway in China, where the government is developing the Social Credit System, SCS, to rate the trustworthiness of its 1.3 billion citizens. For now, technically, participating in China's citizen scores is voluntary, but of course, by 2020, it will be mandatory. The behavior of every single citizen and legal person, which includes every company or other entity in China, will be rated and ranked whether they like it or not. So, James, I think we're having trouble with the mutually exclusive things, a futuristic vision of Big Brother out of control. No, it's already underway. That doesn't exactly make sense to me. And again, it's been almost 2 years since you did, I think, the pretty great report, Sesame Credit, China's creepy new social engineering experiment. And now we've even seen shows like Black Mirror, now even on Netflix, to a much bigger audience. It was a smaller kind of BBC show. Now it's gone really big. And one of the most famous episodes, and I've talked a lot about it on my own show, is called Nosedive, a world where everyone is constantly rated and adjusted by their sort of social credit score. So why, I guess, the bigger push now, James? Is it just all a part of the most favored nation push?
It is because it is technologically feasible now. It is because the technocracy is possible. The idea of technocracy, as I pointed out in Why Big Oil Conquered the World, has been around for a century or so now. But it always relied on this idea that there could be total 24/7 surveillance of every transaction that's taking place in the economy. Well, this goes even further than that. Not only can they track absolutely every purchase that's taking place as it's happening and assign it to you directly because you're using your bank card or your credit card or whatever other type of electronic identification, essentially, but they can also track who you're interacting with, where you're going, what types of things you're saying about the government. Every single thing that you are saying and doing is now being tracked and logged and databased. So they are now going ahead with what they've always wanted to do, which is to make it into a system whereby you are assigned points if you are good for the government, and if you are not good for the government, you are docked points, and if you get below a certain threshold, there will be ways of dealing with you. And at first, those ways of dealing with you may not be so harsh, but in the future nightmare scenario, would it be difficult to imagine how this power will be used by the worst people in society, the kakistocracy, to eliminate you from the gene pool one way or another because you are not a good citizen? I cannot state this seriously enough. We are at the point, as humanity, we are at the crossroads. Either we will become a free society of free human beings who will freely interact with each other, or we will live out Orwell's nightmare of the boot stamping on the human face forever. There's no going back on this. There's no do-over on this. If we make the wrong choices right now with regards to these programs that are coming into view, then it's gone. It's over. Goodbye, even the idea of human freedom. We will be nothing more than robots. So, and for people who think, oh, this is just China, of course, they're the dictatorship. I mean, you know, they don't even pretend to pay lip service to the idea of human rights. Fair enough, that's true. But don't think it's not coming for you. As I followed up earlier this year with an article, it begins, Canadian government rolls out points to reward good citizens, talking about the Carrot app. But don't worry, it's for good things like, oh, jogging and being healthy and taking your flu vaccine shots and all of that. So it is happening. It is already happening. And we are making the decisions whether we're going to go along with this or whether we're going to refuse these types of good citizen points. And trust me, this is the game for all the marbles, because if we make the wrong choice, it's over.
You're exactly right. And so, you know, I often say we laugh to not cry, and we can have fun with putting Big Brother on the Big Trouble, Big Brother in Little China, but you're exactly right. And even just the words, you mentioned the Carrot app, of course, the implication of the stick as the enforcement. And think about it. Like you said, they can eliminate you from the gene pool and steal your organs for massive organ harvesting projects that go on, as we've well documented in our hundreds of episodes of New World Next Week. This is episode 325 from New World Next Week. And we go from China over to the Netherlands, James. And this is a story submitted via a listener at hashtag New World Next Week. And again, people out there can submit stories, as we are not only crowdfunded, but also, of course, crowdsourced with our news as well. This is kind of a bad translation, and I'll explain a little bit about it as we get through it. It comes from the Netherlands News. Citizens can earn points by helping police find stolen cars. Citizens can photograph badges and make sure the car is stolen, whether the citizen is asked to look for a specific license plate in his area. With a hit, the detective can get points. The app is one of the projects under the Police of the Future. For example, the police is working on an app that professionalizes people's help in the search for a missing person. By mapping out what has already been sought, an area can be even more targeted, according to the Corps Chief. The use of citizens for the search is a matter of discussion. Ilko Mormon, 29, who studied law, recently graduated from Erasmus University on this research. He believes that development in this area not only benefits. What are the disadvantages? You would not like to find out if the neighbor is watching you all the time with a camera to see if you're doing anything suspicious, but it's happening. If the police want to film or listen to people, there are all kinds of rules. For example, there must be permission from a prosecutor. For citizens, those rules are not. Now, bad translations aside, and I think it's interesting to note that the headline actually does say civilians, and of course that civilians means that we're in a militarized world, and you're either in the army or you're a civilian, which means you're probably going to be collateral damage. So, James, I'm not sure what you get with these points. Is it cash or trade or script at the company store or what? But as I started to dig around on the story, I can link us up to, and of course everything we say and play always included down in the show notes, the big, massive PDF from the Netherlands, Future of Police Missions, it is called. And fortunately, it is in very plain English. So we'll, again, include that so people can continue their research. As I was digging around and trying to, of course, find better translations and a little more context to this story, there's a related one that says, being excited by the neighbors does not feel good. Essentially, again, they're talking about the surveillance state and whether or not you can either be surveilled upon or you can watch everybody else, and just kind of dragging you into it. What this reminds me of, James, as I'm bumbling around, is your recent report. So you've decided to stop using Google, and actually this translation in this story was originally submitted by the listener using Google Translation, so that's pretty much what I started with. But I think we can find, as I dug a little bit more, really a couple of interesting parts before I throw it back to you, James. Fewer cars stolen in the Netherlands. Thefts dropped to historic low. I found this story from January of 2017 in the Netherlands. So if car thefts are at an historic low in the Netherlands, why the push to make everybody be snoops, huh, James?
Yeah, good question. And again, I think this goes back to essentially the same, or a flip side of that same story we were talking about with China. It is the gamification of everything, making everything into a game so you can make citizenry into a good game, so you can become a good citizen by getting points, or you can get these points that you can use somehow for whatever purpose by snitching on your fellow citizens. That's exactly what they want to do, is to make this into a game so that people will have fun participating in it. And it's an exceptionally effective way of playing on basic human psychology, which you will know if you watched the recent revivification of my You Are Being Gamed podcast, which was from 7 years ago, but was recently put up on the Corbett Report Extras channel, made into a YouTube or a video by Brock West. So if you haven't checked that out yet, please do so. The aim is to gamify everything, make everything into a game so that people will have fun doing it. And with that trick, you can manipulate people into all sorts of behaviors, including becoming snitches, and actively going out and policing other people, because that's the most effective way to police a population, is not to have jackboots walking around the streets, but to make everybody into a police, deputize everyone so that they all feel like they're part of the system. It's exceptionally creepy the way that plays on our most basic human psychology, and again, people have to recognize this for what it is and see it as part and parcel of that same thing we were talking about in story one.
Yes, not jack boots, it's brown shirts essentially. And James, I think you meant to say it's up on BitChute, I believe is the platform.
That is exactly what I meant to say, thank you.
One related story to this before we move on to our third and final story this week is kind of a complicated one, so I just want to kind of mention it here. Mobile phone company selling your number and location, and it gets down into some nitty-gritty of technology, but essentially it involves Verizon using sneaky links that bypass any of the securities on your phone and is leaking all of your information out, and it's a pretty stunning story. A lot of stunning stories on this New World Next Week episode as it gets deadly serious continually. Phoenix 2.0, CIA to unleash Vietnam-era terror campaign on Afghanistan. This via Moon of Alabama. Last week, the new head of the CIA, Mike Pompeo, who we originally knew just as the guy who helped write the Dark Act, denying Americans the right to know what kind of garbage genetically modified foods they're being eaten, of course, again, by the Rockefeller agenda. New CIA head Mike Pompeo publicly threatened to make the CIA a, quote, much more vicious agency, end quote, which is just mind-boggling. His first step towards that is to unleash CIA-sponsored killer gangs onto the people of Afghanistan, as the paper of record reports. The CIA is expanding its covert operations in Afghanistan, sending small teams of highly experienced officers and contractors alongside Afghan forces to hunt and kill Taliban militants across the country. The CIA's expanded role will augment missions carried out by military units, meaning more of the United States' combat role in Afghanistan will be hidden from public view. Now, in not New York Times speech, this will be a mass murder campaign. People are going to be pulled out of their homes at night, vanished, eliminated, disappeared. It's been happening in Afghanistan for years, but on a relatively small scale. So far, the targets were, of course, Al-Qaeda, or Al-Qaeda as we know them, not the local insurgency. The new campaign will target the Taliban, a mass insurgency against U.S. occupation. Thus, it will be a mass campaign and will cause mass casualties. Yes, there was a similar campaign, yeah, probably many of them, but we'll mention right here, similar campaign during the Vietnam War, known as Operation Phoenix, which I believe involved President Obama's head of the military, of the Department of Defense, Robert Gates, among, I'm sure, many other illustrious characters. Then some 50,000 to 100,000 South Vietnamese, all suspected communists, were killed by the CIA's roving gangs. And there is a polished Wikipedia version that says Operation Phoenix was designed to identify and neutralize, via infiltration, capture, counterterrorism, interrogation, and assassination, the infrastructure of the National Liberation Front of South Vietnam, the NLF, or the Viet Cong. The CIA described it as a set of programs that sought to attack and destroy the political infrastructure of the Viet Cong. Now, even the Wikipedia version is still pretty brutal, but James, I will let you take it from here as we look at Phoenix 2.0.
Yes, well, for people who are willing to take the training wheels off their bicycle and get off of Wikipedia and onto real sources, they will, of course, want to read the book on the Phoenix Program called The Phoenix Program by Douglas Valentine, which goes through in disgusting, gory detail what this program was really about and what it really did. It was terror on every level, psychological as well as physical, against the Vietnamese population, because when you're fighting an insurgency, well, everyone is a potential insurgent, so you've got to just be brutal and terrorize the population. And that's what they did for years in Vietnam. And it was more about testing a system of control against a population, more so than winning the Vietnam War. I mean, obviously it didn't work, and obviously that wasn't really what they were aiming at. They just wanted to test out all their little tools of psychological and other types of terror and torture. And they did so for years in a coordinated campaign that involved the very heart of the U.S. military and intelligence apparatus. So it's a horrible story, but it's one we need to know, especially because it is being revived now. And this is exactly what I was talking about with Douglas Valentine at the start of the year, interview 1248. I interviewed Douglas Valentine on the resurrection of the Phoenix program. We talked about the fact that it was the turd in the toilet bowl. Eric Prince, last year, was talking about this. He was saying, we need to redo the Phoenix program for Afghanistan. And lo and behold, here it is. Eric Prince, once again, puppeteering the American military establishment and intelligence establishment. So people need to know what this was to understand just how horrible, horrifying, truly horrifying this concept is. And it is not going to win the war in Afghanistan that they've been waging for the last decade and a half. Going after the Taliban is essentially saying going after Afghanistan. I mean, again, it's exactly like the Vietnam situation where anyone is potentially part of the Taliban, so I guess we have to go after everyone. And I think this this post up on Moon of Alabama, I hope people read the whole thing, but it ends, I think, with the appropriate way to end it. They say the claim that this is going to bring the Taliban to the negotiating table is, of course, utter nonsense. The U.S. already has for 16-plus years aggressively fought the insurgents, and the insurgency grew during that time. The Taliban were always willing to negotiate. Their main condition for a peace agreement is that U.S. forces end their occupation and leave the country. The U.S. is simply not willing to do so. Killing more suspect Taliban sympathizers will not change the Taliban's demand, nor will it make serious negotiations more likely. 5 years from now, when the utter brutality and uselessness of this campaign will come into full light, the New York Times will be shocked, shocked that a campaign like this could ever have happened. And that's it. That's it in a nutshell. You've got the New York Times leaking these plans through two senior American officials to kind of, you know, put it out there to let the public know this is what's coming. And then, yeah, exactly. Years from now, when it all comes to light, they're all going to go, oh, we never could have imagined it would have ended up this way. Well, we are telling you right now exactly how it's going to end up. This is a disaster, a horrific disaster for the Afghan people, obviously, first and foremost, but also for Americans who are once again getting involved in this utterly stupid and senseless quagmire for the benefit of absolutely no one but the military and intelligence industrial complex, and for it to help them sharpen their tools of control against populations. This is absolutely horrific, and we cannot state strongly enough how much the American public should be enraged by this and not allow this program to go forward.
They've got to get out of their own quagmire of Jockarama left-right politics and a bunch of divisive garbage and hopefully start to look at the more important things that are actually going on around the world, which we try our best to do each and every week on New World Next Week, which you and I have both been doing our best for each over a decade now, making our own independent, non-commercial alternative media. I run a stream 8 hours a day, Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 Pacific time at MediaMonarchy.com/listen. It's got news, music, memes, a lot of people in the chat, and I'm really enjoying building and growing my own independent media community. So we'll leave links to that, and of course the links to support our work, Patreon, cryptocurrency, any number of ways. That's it, James.
That is it, and I'm looking forward to it next week. Talk to you later.
Thanks, buddy.